Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 4 responsively, and then we'll pray and get into the lesson this evening. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for the wonderful book of Proverbs, the many lessons that we can learn. I pray once again that you would give us ears to hear, help us to have hearts that are receptive, and help us to be doers of the word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight we're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 2. And in this chapter, we see wisdom's protection. Now, in our text verses, we see the conditions for obtaining wisdom. And then in verses 5 through 22, we'll look at the consequences of obtaining wisdom. Notice, if you will, the conditions of obtaining wisdom. Notice verse 1 through 4. We'll read it once again. It says here, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now, if one truly wants to be wise, and I believe we all do, I hear the prayer requests, and many of them is praying for wisdom, and the reason is we all need it. Now, if you want to be wise, we need to be receptive, we need to be responsive, and we need to be resolute. Now, in verse 1, we read the word if. Now, this means we make a choice if we are to obtain wisdom or not. Now, God created us with a will, and in the matter of attaining wisdom, it's not something we are born with, but it is available to each of us if we would receive the word of God. In the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 12 and 20, we find Job asking, "But where shall wisdom be found? And whence then cometh wisdom?" Well, these two questions are answered in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, which tells us, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Yet many a believer forfeits wisdom when they neglect the reading of God's word, when they reject the preaching of the Bible, or they simply dismiss it by saying such foolishness as if it's not a heaven or hell issue, it's a non-essential. If we are to attain wisdom, we must receive the whole truth of God's word as nothing but the truth and stop sitting in judgment of it. Are we not told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture, now how much? All is given by the inspiration of God. Inspiration means it's God-breathed. So how many of the words in your Bible came from the mouth of God? All of them. And how many are profitable? All of them. And they're profitable for doctrine as they tell us what is right. They are profitable for reproof because they tell us where we are wrong. They are profitable for correction, for they tell us how to get right. And then they're profitable for instruction in righteousness, for they tell us how to stay right. One is certainly wise to believe and receive all of what is written in the book that God has given us. It is to be the seed cast into the ground of a good and honest heart. We are to read our Bibles as one who sits at the feet of Jesus and listens intently like Mary did to what he's saying. We should be like the Bereans and receive his word with all readiness of mind, and be like the Thessalonians who receive the word of God as it is in truth. To obtain wisdom, we must be responsive to God's Word. Verse 1 tells us, hide my commandments with thee. Verse 2 and 3 goes on to say, incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. In other words, we need to make an active and determined effort to get to know the Word of God, for the Bible is God's storehouse for wisdom. We are to hide His commandments with us, and there's no better place for that than in our own heart. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. When it comes to our hearing and the application of Scripture, may we lift up our voice and pray, waken my ear, morning by morning, to hear as the learned. While earthly wisdom may be obtained by the study of the world's foremost philosophers, heavenly wisdom is obtained by prayer. And this corresponds to what James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, where we are told, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of what? God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he's not going to berate you for asking for wisdom. You know, when I was a kid, there was times I got berated by my father. You know, if I asked him for money, you know what? He'd berate me. What, does money grow on trees? And I always wanted to say, but thank God I had a little bit of wisdom. I said, well, isn't it made of paper? Doesn't paper come from trees? But actually, it's not made of paper. I found that out. Me and Jake did when we went, remember? I was like, really? It was some kind of fine linen and stuff. It's an amazing thing. But anyways, I'm still here today because I didn't answer in such a fashion. But you know what? God's not going to berate us when we ask for wisdom. He says, and it shall be given unto you, what? Liberally. But we need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, study of the Word may give you a head knowledge of the Scripture. But prayer puts the Word into one's heart and makes one a wise spiritual Christian. Now, every verse read and meditated on ought to be accompanied by prayer. And every text prayed over for the search for wisdom, it'll take some effort. Much like a miner who digs for silver or other treasures that are hidden in the earth. You know, so often we just look at the surface of the Word of God and we don't dig into it and we're missing out so much. Is a miner satisfied with the first bit of silver or other treasure that they come upon? Or do they continue to dig and keep on digging until they get every last bit out of it? It is sad but true that many believers are content with the little bit of wisdom that they glean from the Word of God. While they may think that they have enough to sustain them, they should not stop digging, nor should they stop praying for wisdom, for the treasures found in God's Word are inexhaustible. So many people will wear themselves out to unearth worldly treasure, yet believers fail to give themselves to the pursuit of eternal treasure of wisdom, which can only be found in God's given book we call the Bible. I read a story about a wise Bible teacher and preacher. Well, he got up and he preached, and after the service that he had conducted, an elderly man came up to him and thanked him for the message. He then made the remark, I wish I had your knowledge of the Bible. And the preacher replied, my friend, you're too late. If you wanted the knowledge of the Bible that I have, you should have started studying it about 50 years ago, because that's how long it took me to obtain the knowledge that I currently have. But it's never too late, my friend, to make a serious start. Folks, if we are to acquire or get wisdom, we must be receptive to what God says. We must be responsive to it. And we must be resolute or put the effort in to obtain it. Then secondly, I want us to see the consequences of acquiring wisdom. And we find that in verses 5 through 22 of this chapter. Notice one with wisdom will delight in the Lord. Look at verses 5 through 8. And they tell us, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." Now, when we get wisdom, we will delight in the Lord, who is the source of all wisdom. We will have the right kind of fear as we understand the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And it leads us to trust him, and then our trust in him leads us to loving him. Now, the fear of the Lord for the believer is really an affectionate reverence for God that acknowledges his supreme authority, and it results in a desire to obey him and live a life that pleases him because of our love for him. Did not Jesus say, "If you love me, what? Keep my commandments"? Now, when we get wisdom, we get the right kind of fear, but we are also blessed with a considerable find. We get knowledge, and we get understanding according to verse 6. And that comes from the mouth of God. Now, knowledge is the practical application of God's truth, and understanding is the ability to discern right from wrong and enables one to handle life's challenges properly. Knowledge and understanding does not come from the mouth of Buddha, Muhammad, the Pope who thinks he's the vicar of Christ. You will not find it in the mouth of politicians, educators, philosophers, scientists, or any persuasive windbag. Now, I'm not saying that everything they say is wrong. That would be wrong on my part. But that we can't learn something from what they're saying. But we must esteem God's word, and anything anyone else says that doesn't line up with Scripture should be dismissed outright, and it isn't worth finding. Then we also find the object of wisdom in verse 7. Notice it says, "He layeth up." Now that's talking about God laying up wisdom as one would hide a treasure. So the wicked may look for wisdom, and they may not find it. But the righteous, they need to dig for it if they're going to get it. The expression "sound wisdom" refers to stability. The object of wisdom is to keep us stable and protect us from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Next, we have the outcome of wisdom in verse 8. It says, "He," speaking of the Lord, "keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints." Yes, wisdom will guide our feet into every good path. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. There we find our Lord to be our buckler. Now when we walk uprightly and this way is kept and preserved by God in his word, for all his saints are to walk in the word. Now, buckler refers to God being our protector and our defender as we walk wisely. So we see in verse 5 through 8 the consequences of getting wisdom. And boy, they are good, are they not? Wisdom is to delight in the Lord. Then in verses 9 through 22, we see that getting wisdom results in deliverance by the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 9. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Now, God is on the side of righteousness, justice, and fair play. And when one walks uprightly, they increase in the knowledge of these very things. Righteousness is acting in a way that is morally correct and pleasing to God. Now, there's so many believers that practice situation ethics. The circumstances they find themselves in determine how they're going to behave. That is morally wrong. It is corrupt. We are to always operate by the Word of God. Now, justice is the application of truth and fairness, and equity is impartiality and integrity. You know, oftentimes, you know what, there's people that have done work for me, and I say, well, how much would you charge to do this job? And you know what they tell me? Like, I remember doing the texture in the back over there. I asked the guy, I said, how much would it cost to put up the drywall and then texture in the back office there? He says, $600. I said, no, I'm not paying you $600. He says, what do you mean? I said, I wouldn't do it for $600. I'm giving you more than that. You know, just recently I hired somebody and I had him do the downstairs basement bedroom, finish it out. I said, well, how much are you going to charge for that? He said, he gave me a number. I said, no, I ain't going to pay you that. He said, what do you mean? I said, you know what? I'm going to pay you a whole lot more than that. I wouldn't do that job for that kind of money. So, you know what? I don't think he was being equitable, and nor did I want to take advantage of a guy. I believe a workman is worthy of his hire. And, you know, sure, he would have kept his word, and sure, I could have paid him that, and he probably would have been happy. But you know what? I understood something, and it wouldn't have made me happy paying the little bit that he was asking for. We need to be fair. And we need to be impartial, and we need to have integrity. Integrity speaks of godly character. Now, there are many Christians who are characters, but very few have godly character. Well, anyways, this ensures us that God's wisdom will allow us to walk in the good path when faced with various situations we come across in life. And when applied, we will not depart into an evil way. It gives us biblical perception to do right. And we are to do right at all times because right is always right to do. Then notice, it brings pleasure. Verse 10 tells us, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is what? Pleasant unto thy soul. Now truly wise people have answers to big questions about life and death, time, eternity, sin, and salvation. And because wisdom resides in their heart, the knowledge they possess is pleasant to their souls. Now we come to preservation, the next verse, from the villainous man, and then in verses 11 through 15. And here we see that there is a need for discretion. It reads, discretion shall what? Preserve thee. Understanding shall what? Keep thee. Now the remainder of Proverbs chapter 2 shows how wisdom can save us from the villainous man as well as the vile woman, and both require discretion. To some people, discretion is refraining from words or deeds that might lead to unpleasant consequences. But discretion is counting the cost. And if you proceed with discretion, that does not mean you never speak out or make a move. It simply means making decisions with care and knowing what you are getting into. Discretion will give one protection from the wicked man's ways. Verse 12 tells us, discretion will deliver thee from the way of what? The evil man, from the man that speaketh what? Froward things. Now, God does not promise that discretion will protect us from the evil man. It's not what it says, but from the evil man's ways. It will also keep us from the wicked man's words. Now, every one of us come across evil men, do we not? We cannot help that. They're going to come into our lives. But you know what? If we have discretion, we're not going to go down their ways. And that's where discretion comes in. And you know what? It'll keep us also from the wicked man's words. Now, the wicked, or the word froward, means perverse. Now, how many have fallen prey to some slick-tongued devil's scam? We all have. We thought, man, that's good. But we've been led astray. And sometimes it's a sweet talk in the hustler. Or we've been turned away from the truth by an educator that we admired with a persuasive argument. Many speak perverse words today, but one with discretion will not buy into them. They will reject them time and time again. Discretion will also protect us from the wicked man's walk. Look at what it says in verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, wicked people will leave what they once knew what was right to do to walk in darkness. We've all seen them. You know, how many parents have said, you know what, they brought up kids and they went their different ways than they were taught, and they said, I don't understand. They weren't what? Brought up that way. And yet they have gone the way of darkness. Now, they do so because they choose to do evil deeds. Then we see that discretion will protect us from the wicked man's wickedness. Look at verses 14 and 15. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are what? Crooked, and they froward in their paths. Now, one with discretion finds out how crooked something is by placing it alongside the plumb line of God's word and avoids partaking in the ways of the wicked. You know, they may want you to join them. They may want you to go in their way. But you read the word of God, you line it up with scripture, and you say, you know what, that just ain't right, and you will not go in their way. In the rest of the chapter, in verses 16 through 22, we see wisdom protects one from the vile woman. Not only from the villainous man, but the vile woman. In verse 16, we are told she is flattering. Notice what it says. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with what? Flattereth with her words. Now the vile woman is as dangerous as the villainous man. And happy is a man who escapes her clutches. Now the word flattery is speaking of insincere praise that has an ulterior motive. Perhaps there's no better example in the Bible of a flatterer than Delilah. She didn't care much for Samson, but she knew he was susceptible to her feminine charms. And so when the Philistine lords offered her a fortune to find out the secret of his strength, she willingly took that money over Samson. She was ready and willing to do what was necessary to extract that information from Samson. She played him like a fiddle, and it was on her lap that Samson lost his hair and his strength, then his eyes, and finally his life. She buttered him up, only to bring him down, and her flattery led to the fall of the Hebrew Hercules. The vile woman will use flattery, but in verse 17, we are told she is forgetful. Notice what it says here. Which forsaketh the guide of what? Her youth. Now, I wonder who that guide was supposed to be. Couldn't it be mom and dad? Didn't they teach her better? Sure they did. And forgetteth the covenant, what? Of her God. It sounds like her parents instructed her in the ways of the Lord. Some unfortunate women are born and brought up in a life of sin. And that's all they have ever known. But the woman described here knew better and became sinful by choice. She was raised right, taught right, and knew better, yet she did not care and turned her back on all that was good in her life for one of immorality and indecency. So many forsake their privilege of being brought up in a godly home, raised by godly parents who love them, and who love the Lord, only to have them go out of the home and live a life of sin. It happened to the prodigal son, and it happens to many prodigal daughters. They seem to be forgetful what the guide of their youth had taught them. Such a person is quite dangerous. A vile woman will use flattery. She is forgetful of the right that she has been taught, but she is also fatal. For verse 18 tells us, for her house inclineth unto what? Death, and her paths unto the what? Dead. This immoral woman's home is where treachery and violence are frequent guests. Her house is one of ill repute, and she is a spreader of disease. One is warned of the doom that lies where she lives. Many a strange woman, and you say, what's a strange woman? It's a woman you are not married to. If you are not married to her, hands off! Listen, this woman will fatally take away the purity of a young man and has killed many a marriage, killed a clean conscience, and brought the judgment of God upon those who engage in moral acts with her. And verse 19 tells us, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now, while the world may mock at the principle of remaining pure prior to marriage or being pure in the confines of marriage, the Word of God commands it. I read a story of a girl who kept herself pure while living in an impure college environment. A promiscuous young woman mocked her for being so old-fashioned. Now listen to what this girl replied to her. She said this, anytime I want, I can be like you. But you can never be like me. For I plan to present myself pure to the one I say I do to. When will we heed the warning that is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4? Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Young people, you need to stay pure. Married people, stay faithful. For you did say till death do you part. And if you stray to those whom you have made your vows to, you may depart sooner than you planned. Don't be a strange woman. And don't be ensnared by her either. In verse 20 and 21, we see the path of the wise man. And those verses tell us that thou mayest walk in the way of what? Good men. And keep the paths of what? The righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. You know, if you're going to follow somebody, it's good to follow a wise man. It's good to follow a good man. And that's who you ought to follow. That's who you ought to behave like. Now, the path that leads to the strange woman's house is contrasted with the path chosen by good men. The bad woman and the good man are placed in opposite of one another. The good man's life may look rather drab, may look rather dull in comparison, but he is not deceived by outward appearances. For the way he takes leads to honor, reward, peace, and satisfaction, things that money cannot buy. They are not guilt-ridden, they do not live with regrets, and they do possess a clear, clean conscience as well as a clear, clean body. This chapter ends with the path of the wicked man, as verse 22 declares, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgression shall be rooted out of it. While the wicked and transgressors may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, they will ultimately be cut off, rooted out, and driven into everlasting ruin. There is no better life, my friend, than being saved and getting in on the abundant life that Jesus promised. It may seem rather simple and even disagreeable to those in the world, but the paths of righteousness are good, and it produces a gladness found nowhere else. Yes, godliness and gladness go together. Holiness and happiness, rejoicing and righteousness, they're all twins. You see, wisdom will keep you from the villainous man. It'll also keep you from the vile woman. Wisdom from God's word provides protection when it is acquired and when it is applied. We need to be a wise people, and we need to exercise some discretion. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Proverbs chapter 2.